101.5 FM, 720 AM. KDON, the talk of Las Vegas.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the number one professional wrestling radio show in Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
One full hour of wrestling news, entertainment, and lots of Sin City surprises from inside the squared circle. Now, let's bring on the tag team of Andrew Fish Fame, Joe DeFalco, and your host, Mark Hoke.
All righty. It's day two.
I like that. Day two.
Holy good golly, Miss Molly.
So we're putting on a better pay-per-view than WWE for day one.
Oh,
because two is more than one.
Don't be that mean.
But two is greater than one, isn't it?
Well, it's actually a premium event these days. It's not even a pay-per-view.
Yeah, I forgot. Yeah, it's no longer. So there's no longer a Coliseum home video of it?
Wow.
There will not be. Hillbilly Jim is going to be in trouble.
Uncle Elmer not going to show up.
Don't forget Cousin Luke. Hey, somebody, you started that. I finished.
Oh, good Lord.
Welcome to the Mark Hoke Show, everybody, here on KDWN 101.5 FM, 720 AM.
You know, when the show kicks off with a Hillbilly Jim reference, you're in for a good hour.
Oh, good God. We are the talk of Las Vegas. I'm Mark Hoke. Thanks for being with us. We're going to a lot of crazy pro wrestling stuff. Well, I don't think we anticipated all this nonsense going on here the first couple of days of the year, but wow. Wow. Wow.
I will say, as a show, we've been very lucky in the sense that since we've started the show, pretty much every week there's been some sort of major story that's happened that we've had a chance to talk about.
Yeah, and today will be new, different. Andrew
Well, the only thing I could think of this weekend was Matt Cardona and Chelsea Green got married in Vegas. Other than that, what happened?
Were you at the wedding?
I guess I lost my invite. Luke Gallows was there because I was talking to him, and I told him I was trying to get in touch with Cardona. He's like, I'll let him know at the wedding. I'm like, I think you should do it right before the vows. That would be pretty.
did Gangrel show up and ruin it? You know, drop the brood goo on them.
Oh, Lord. I didn't even get to introduce you guys.
I know. I do want to say, before you even introduce us, I do want to say, Joe, I hope you have a very happy new year, and I hope 2022 for FSW is everything it's cracked up to be and more.
Oh, I hope so, too. Hopefully we can weed out the losers.
You may go ahead now, Mark.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Andrew Fish Fame.
Yay, me.
Of course, co-host on Monday nights of SportsX Radio with Bernard Chips Barnes.
That's right, the Fish and Chips edition.
Fish and Chippy.
What
do you actually do? Is it like a handicapping show?
Yeah. We basically talk about the weekend that was, what's coming up, and Bernard picks winners and I pick losers. So we generally together
say,
we do pretty well.
You guys can't do too well if you guys aren't like, you know, you would think that you would come on this show and talk about what a big bowl weekend you had. Because I know I got smashed. Everybody I liked. You know, they all had leads. I had a great 3-team money line parlay.
Yeah, Iowa had the lead late too. That much I remember.
Yeah, I had Utah, I had Notre Dame, and I had Iowa. They were all winning like in the fourth quarter.
Good game, Joe.
You know, bad beats.
That's the name of the game. That's how Vegas makes its money.
Yes, does the city?
I was an idiot listening to people. Cincinnati. Garbage.
And that, of course, is the bitter one, Joe DeFalco. Of future stars of wrestling, make sure you go to fswvegas.com. Check out all their.
The Mecca's coming up, too.
Mecca's coming up. Heard had a great show. Unfortunately, Joe, I got sick, and I didn't get to come down to the New Year's Eve show.
I had to work,
which
actually.
I heard last match was fantastic.
That was definitely way more fun than last night's show. Like, I was more content sitting at Sunset Station losing money on video poker, but you kept making these texts. So I'm like, hey, you know what? Let me come and watch the show. And it was like, it kind of sucked, you know. Brock Lesnar thing was cool because I knew he was going to win the title. So it's like, again, first Roman Reigns works us with the leukemia, and now he works us with the COVID.
Wow.
I do have a question for you, though, Joe. Do you think that it was booked for Brock Lesnar to beat Roman Reigns and win the Universal title before he came down with quote-unquote COVID?
No, I think it was booked that Roman Reigns was going to test positive for COVID, and Brock Lesnar was going to slide into the other match and pin Big E instead of pinning any of the other guys. That way Big E's done. He can go back to, you know, selling hot dogs. And, you know, now they could set up, you know, a mega title versus title match if they want.
A unification bout?
Or, you know, obviously, you know, there was a reason why the final shot was Lashley eyeballing Lesnar and they let him. It was kind of like when Drew McIntyre got over Brock in the Royal Rumble. Like, you knew that was kind of the next setup. And it was like, you know, look, you know, Lashley speared him in the ring. He put him through the thing that goes around the ring, whatever.
The barricade.
You know. The barricade, there it is, you know.
Because they've been talking about for years Bobby Lashley versus Brock Lesnar and wanting to do that match.
Yeah, let's back up a little bit just so people that are listening and, you know, may not know what happened last night.
Spoiler alert.
So we can kind of set this up a little bit, what we're talking about. So, of course, the WWE pay-per-view last night, day one.
The first time they've had day one pay-per-view. So I don't know if it's going to be the last one, but it was definitely the first one.
Well, they wanted it to make an impact, and they sure as hell did it. As a couple hours before the pay-per-view, Roman Reigns put up a post in WWE that said that Roman Reigns has COVID, he's out, and he was supposed to be wrestling Brock Lesnar last night for the Universal title. So the main event gets changed as Brock Lesnar is inserted into the match for the WWE Championship, making it a fatal five-way.
Oof.
And Lesnar walks out with the title.
See, now, the one thing I've always wondered why they haven't done, especially when it's a fatal four-way or five-way, instead of having it just one guy wins, why don't they make it I like it when it's like a five-way elimination match. When someone gets pinned, they just get eliminated, so then it becomes a four-way, then a three-way, yeah. And then the final two.
Well,
that's why they don't do that, because that way four guys don't have to lose. Only one has to lose. Yeah.
So I did hear a report from Brian Alvarez, Wrestling Observer, that said that originally Big E was scheduled to win last night.
Take that with a grain of salt.
But that was the report that Alvarez had last night.
You kind of cut off on me. You said Big E was scheduled to win?
Big E was scheduled to win last night.
Yeah.
So
I call BS on that.
So hard to... But obviously now the whole Paul Heyman thing...
That was also a great line from Brock Lesnar during the pay-per-view when they were doing the backstage segment, saying that thanks to my advocate, I'm a free agent, so I can be in this match. And if you remember, he set it up months ago when he said, I'm a free agent, doesn't matter where I am.
Yeah, this is incredibly intriguing because, you know,
I can't believe, because Roman Reigns got COVID, they were going to take all the plans to WrestleMania and just throw them away.
I agree.
Because Roman Reigns got COVID.
And the funny thing is I expected the next match to be after Reigns. I thought Reigns, or after Lesnar, I thought Reigns' next opponent would be Drew McIntyre, but now McIntyre is going to be embroiled with this Happy Corbin and Madcap
Moss
situation.
Well, apparently he's hurt.
Who?
What a heated, Drew? What a heated legit dude hurt. That is.
Yeah, apparently Drew is legit hurt. So they did the whole chair thing in that to
right. But now there is absolutely no competitor to take on Roman Reigns.
Yeah.
I mean, Drew McIntyre and Lesnar were the two guys. Lesnar's and now the champion at Raw. And there is, and if Drew's hurt, there's nobody.
Well, if they bring up Keith Lee and Karrion Kross from NXT.
Oops. Yeah.
Hey, Bron Breakker.
I was just going to say Von Wagner, Bron Breakker. Anyone?
I think Solo Sikoa needs to come in and claim that he's the head of the table.
Ooh, see, I like that.
Right too. Well, Joe, let me ask you this as someone that runs a promotion.
And where's Samoa Joe?
Let's just say that, take everybody's word for it, that this was legit, that Roman got COVID, and everything got scrambled. Joe, you're sitting there getting this news. I mean, what is a promoter and a booker do you do in that spot? I mean, you know, what would, assuming that this wasn't a work, what's going on backstage?
Okay, well, we had our New Year's show, and we built everything around Chris Bay defending the No Limits title And the big one was Matt Vandegrift and Damian Drake. They were going to do their Iron Man match. They were brothers. They were tag team champions. Matt turned on Bret. And a couple days before the show, Bret was supposed to help run, Damian Drake was supposed to help run training. And then it was like, oh, Damian Drake left early. He wasn't feeling too good. And it's like, well, we've just built this whole show around Damian Drake in a 60-minute Iron Man match. Like, what do we do if he's sick? And it's like, well, I can't all of a sudden just say, oh, okay, instead of Chris Bay and Jay Vidal, we're going to add Matt Vandegrift into the match and then all of a sudden have him win. It's COVID. He'll be back next week. It isn't like the dude's got a neck injury like Drew McIntyre and he's going to be out for 6 months. So, again, they're going to change the next 3 or 4 months because Roman Reigns is going to be out for a week. I just don't get how that works.
And I,
you know,
ironically, the week before, so during the Christmas time when they were doing house shows, they pulled a lot of them out of
the
house shows.
Everybody
so,
at home.
So they did not get sick, and now he's getting sick.
The only
right
one.
And right, we heard that as of a couple of days ago. You know, because my buddy lives in New York, and he was taking his kids, and they went to the house show, and they added Edge, you know, into the MSG show. Because they wanted to pull everybody. And then as of like 2 days ago, I heard, you know, that Roman Reigns was out because they just wanted to make sure nobody got sick before. And then all of a sudden, you know, 2 hours before the show starts, oh, Roman Reigns has got COVID.
And see,
it's like,
I was about to say, I didn't think of it in those terms, but you made an excellent point that because if they wanted to keep the booking the same, they could have had Lesnar not win this match, and then he could have gone back to fight Reigns starting at the Royal Rumble or whatever, and it continued the plan. But by making him the champion, they've totally scrapped all those plans, which says to me that they didn't have those plans to begin with.
You know, everything as we hear about is that the booking starts at WrestleMania and they go backwards. And now we're like 80% through the year going into WrestleMania, and now all of a sudden you're going to tell me that this wasn't the plan? That's why it's like, again, it's wrestling, and we like to be conspiracy theorists. And as I joke about the leukemia and the COVID, I joke, but also in the back of my mind, I'm thinking, hey, they will do anything to progress the storylines. And I haven't watched that much WWE that often. And I kind of watched yesterday, and it really made me take notice that, you know what, they do not care about the wrestling. It's all about the storylines. And if you like them, great. And if you don't. You know, I thought Miz and Edge, they set up a match that nobody's going to care about. And if that was what they were going to do, then Miz should have won the match.
Right.
Yeah, it was, yeah, I mean, and overall, just, you know, talking about the rest of the pay-per-view, too, you know, I thought the first match with New Day and the Usos was a really good match.
But that was the one I didn't see, and I heard that one was really good. But, again, they're two of the best teams. They're going to have a great match.
And they put on,
again, we've seen it a million times.
Yeah, but they put on great matches before. And the kickoff show had the interesting situation with
Rich Holland getting John Cena.
Yeah, getting his nose, like, moved to the left side of his face. So
saw a picture of him finally. He wasn't looking too good.
No, I would imagine not.
But
the most over he's ever gotten. He needs to break his nose more often. People might care.
But, you know, the rest of the card was kind of, the crowd was kind of,
See, the funny thing is I was actually looking forward to that RK-Bro Street Profits match just because of the talent in the ring between those four guys.
And it wasn't, and I'm not saying it was a bad match. Honestly, you know, as crazy as it sounds, you know,
they're over it. I enjoyed it. I could care less about the Street Profits. But the dynamic of Orton, it's weird watching, like, Orton and Lesnar, you know, pander as baby faces. It's kind of funny because, like, with Lesnar, you look at him and he's, like, and I like it as the baby face, but you look at Lesnar, he's like, you know what, I'm really kind of a jackass, and I'm trying to play this baby face, and the crowd's eating it up, I'll tell you that, you know.
There were pictures of him last night.
They loved him.
There were pictures of him last night taking pictures with fans and everything after he had the belt and just crazy stuff.
And that's not like Brock Lesnar at all.
No, he's actually having
with
fun.
COVID, you would think that now he's going to have to run home and take a acid shower.
Yeah, and he's totally over. The question I have now is, are they going to, because, you know, part of the problem people had with him being champion before was he'd show up once every 4 or 5 weeks. Are they going to have him on more consistently now that he's the champion on Raw?
I think they are.
They have to.
I think he's getting more money. I think, you know, the scramble with Fox and USA, you know, they want that star power. And, you know, we'd heard, you know, inklings before Fox was mad because, you know, Lesnar and all the main guys were on Raw, and then they had to appease them. And it's like, you know what? When those guys are paying the bills, they're going to make decisions for Vince McMahon. And Vince McMahon knows where the money train is. And if Brock Lesnar has to only work an extra 20 days, and instead of getting $250,000 a pop, you know, now he's going to get $400,000 a pop, because obviously money's no object and he doesn't care. So, you know, Lesnar shows, and even that, a fatal five-way, and it only went 8 minutes. Now, it was all action, and that's cool and everything. Yeah. But imagine AEW having a main event that was 8 minutes. People would be like, what is this crap?
And the other thing that WWE did with this story is they totally removed the Paul Heyman story, because now Lesnar's on Raw and Reigns is on SmackDown, so there's no conflict for Heyman there.
But Lesnar, of course, made reference to Heyman. So if Brock's a free agent, and he hires Paul Heyman, then couldn't Paul Heyman, you know, he isn't branded. He doesn't have to be on SmackDown. He's an advocate for Roman Reigns.
Well, yeah.
Now he's an advocate for Brock Lesnar.
But that's my point, is that he will now be on Raw with Brock Lesnar, so we'll never have a conclusion to what happens between him and Roman Reigns, because Reigns is on SmackDown.
Well, unless it's a unification match.
Okay, fair enough.
That's a possibility. And there's certainly opportunities that, you know, between now and the Royal Rumble, and at the Royal Rumble, to change this whole thing around. I mean, you know, last year's WrestleMania, they didn't know what they were, you know, they had no clue what they were doing up until a couple of months before that card. You know, it was not a typical year where they had it planned out. It was some on the fly booking last year.
And, do you like WrestleMania being 2 days, by the way?
Yeah, it's going to be 2 days again.
I'm okay with it. I mean,
just wondering. I just didn't know what your opinion was.
You know.
I'm not. I wanted to do a show. We were talking about doing a show down there, and now it kind of takes away one of the days, because Friday will be SmackDown, Saturday will be day one, Sunday will be day two, you know, with all the people coming into town. I know it's WrestleMania week, but we were hoping to do something with GCW and the Collective and maybe run a show on that Friday. Now it's maybe running a show on a Wednesday or a Thursday. And there'll still be a lot of wrestling fans, but you want to take advantage of when the most people will be there. And, you know, WWE's smartened up. You know, they try to first keep out all the indie companies. Now they just run it 2 days, which makes it even more difficult for people to have a show, you know, 2 days before WrestleMania. Not everybody gets in, you know.
Vince always finds a way to twist the knife, doesn't he?
He absolutely does.
Subtle little ways to twist the knife.
I mean, going back to...
He tried to buy out the venues in the past.
Yeah, going all the way back to when he bought his way onto TBS, or what was it, Black Monday? Is that what it was called? Black Wednesday, something like that. And he screwed over Ole Anderson.
Yeah, it's going to be, this is going to be very interesting.
A lot of upset people that Ole Anderson got screwed over.
Yeah, so.
Wow, that was talking about dripping with sarcasm.
So there's two other things that came out of this pay-per-view, and I'm going to, we'll get to everybody screaming about Bobby Lashley and Brock Lesnar in a little bit. But there was an interesting thing that happened in the Becky Lynch Liv Morgan match that I wanted to point out. At the end of the match, which, you know, decent match, Becky, on that final cover, was trying to get her feet on the ropes, and she didn't make it.
Yeah, I noticed that.
She didn't make it.
I was wondering.
And, of course, Becky's been cheating to win this whole way. You know, Liv has been,
and
been pushing
actually,
Liv Morgan
pretty
hard.
That was her mantra,
hard.
Actually. If you're not cheating, you're not trying hard enough.
Something like that. So now, because of that, is Liv Morgan screwed because Becky couldn't get her feet on the ropes? You know, because I have a feeling that they were going to do this one more time. But
they
now,
we've seen that in WWE a million times. I'm the baby face who loses clean to the heel and somehow get a title match, or I'm the heel and I lose clean to the baby face and I do something next week and I'm deserving of a title match.
Right. I mean, the storyline was stupid, but Doudrop was correct when she said, how come Bianca Belair keep getting titles? Yeah, Bianca Belair kept losing and kept getting title matches. So that's not going to be an issue there.
Like I said, that's the difference a lot of times. And, you know, I thought it was dumb when they first came up with the idea, AEW, oh, and records matter and wins and losses. But it's like, you know what? People want to believe, you know, it's treated as a sporting event. There's a reason there's a number one contenders match. You have to win that to get the title shot. And AEW does a far better job than WWE on making those matches important. And that's what we've talked about for years with WWE. I win, you win, tag match, six man. It doesn't matter. It just never ends. It's just a continued cycle. We're in the matrix of professional wrestling.
Yeah, because and that's why I always thought it was dumb with WWE. If I'm in a tag match and one of the other participants happens to be the champion, if I pin him in the tag match, that makes me a contender for the title. It's like, how does that happen?
Yeah, that's not right. So here's
that's the worst part. Yeah, you know, I got to beat you in a non-title match. So it's like, well, they did is bury their champions instead of the old days where I had to beat the other guy, and then that and made me the number one contender, and now we had the big title match. It's like, so I got to beat you three times to get a title shot to win the title.
It's ridiculous. So the other situation, of course, that came up with putting Brock Lesnar in this match was, oh, wow, hey, there's Brock Lesnar and Bobby Lashley, a match everybody's been wanting for, I don't know, a decade.
Yep. Because of their MMA backgrounds as well.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know if they've been wanting it for a decade. I think it's more like the last year, because Lashley never got over that big until he went to Impact and then came back.
And the same with Drew. It's funny what Impact has done for both of them, their careers.
So now, is there any chance that WWE just blows everything off and says, you know, after that reaction last night, because there was a strong reaction when those two were taking each other on, to maybe say, you know what, why don't we do Brock and Bobby instead? I mean, that temptation's got to be there.
I think last night was the feeling out process, and they were saying, okay, let's see what kind of reaction they get. And if they get that reaction, that's the path we're going to go down, because it's obvious and it's set up and it's right there for us.
Joe, what do you think about that?
Well, I think they've done a tremendous job with Lashley. I think MVP being there has really helped, because even though Lashley cut really good promos in Impact, he was never a guy that was considered any good on the microphone. And he's definitely, you know, improved tenfold. But MVP is, you know, he's right on. And, you know, what made Lesnar so strong was having the voice of Paul Heyman that people considered the greatest manager of, you know, in the last 30, 40 years. And MVP has kind of stepped in that role. And, you know, he's the perfect complement, you know, for Lashley. And, you know, he's a guy that kind of like 2 years ago with Drew McIntyre that, you know, everything aligned and it was like he became the man. And right now there's always got to be a man that's going to take out Brock Lesnar. And in reality, it helps Lashley way more than it helps Roman Reigns.
We got about 30 seconds-ish.
Then real quickly, I just want to say that Lesnar doesn't, I don't know if he likes being a face or not, but if they bring Heyman back, I think that's why they have the possibility of a double turn where Lesnar becomes heel, Lashley becomes face, because Lashley's already beginning to turn on MVP anyway.
Yeah, it's intriguing. I would certainly be tempted to book it, but, you know, who knows? Well, of course, we are getting ready to head into commercial break. Just want to remind everybody, thanks for listening to the Mark Hoke Show, and follow us on Twitter at Mark Hoke Show, Facebook, The Mark Hoke Show, MarkHokeShow.com.
Especially those of you in the Maldives.
Yeah, all sorts of countries. We got Israel, by the way.
Woohoo! My fellow tribemen.
There you go.
It took that long when a second class country that it took that long.
Oh, wow. Anyway, well, stick around. We've got more coming up. Tony Storm bails and Big Swole wails.
Oh, good
boy,
Lord.
That's a good one.
Wow.
101.5 FM, 720 AM. KDON, the talk of Las Vegas. This is the Mark Hoke Show.
The Mark Hoke Show.
Here again, your host, Mark Hoke.
Hello.
Hello.
What's up, everybody?
Hello. Hello.
The Mark Hoke Show continues here on KDWN, 101.5 FM, 720 AM. That's right. It's two for one. It's like Seamus got last night.
There you look at that segue.
I'm Mark Hoke, Andrew Fishfane.
Hello.
Joe DeFalco from Future Stars of Wrestling here in Las Vegas. So, just when you thought it was safe to go back in the water. Tony Storm got out of the pool. We're gonna hit that first before we get into the really heavy stuff. But what an interesting little scenario. Because, you know, last week, after Tony's crying fit and everything that was going on, the bizarre booking and the pies and everything else, Tony Storm works a house show and buys a plane ticket home and quits WWE, and they say, okay, see ya. So Tony Storm just quit. Wow. Fish, what are your thoughts on Tony Storm taking a walk?
You and I talked about this before the show started. I could absolutely see why she did it. The way she was treated was absolutely horrible, but I don't think it was the best move for her career to quit WWE.
I think it was, obviously not happy with creative, and I could understand why. But Joe, last week I said she was done, but I didn't mean she was done.
Well, you know, again, a lot of times, people look at it and make the decisions based on financial security. And some, like her, look like, you know what? Obviously, you can't tamper. People have contracts, blah, blah, blah. But don't tell me that she hasn't talked to maybe AEW and knows that there's an offer to go there to where she feels she's going to be treated better. And, or in some situations, as I've always said with Austin Aries, if he's not happy, he's not worried about the money, just let me go and I'll go do my own thing, leaving lots of money on the table while there's others who choose to stay and then after the fact complain about how they were treated. And, even with Matt Cardona, he takes shots and he takes shots, but nobody told him to re-sign three different contracts to be there.
Right.
They chose to take the money and not be utilized, or they could have left like they did. And hey, how much better would Matt Cardona be off right now if 3 years ago he chose to leave when Zack Ryder was hot and they buried him, and then he chose to re-sign anyway? That's his own fault.
Yeah, I think it's a very interesting precedent that has been set. Is this something that more people may be tempted to do in WWE if they're getting ticked off and say, you know what, I'm out of here?
Well, she still has a no-compete clause, so she still can't do anything for 90 days, right?
That hasn't
90 days, so she's still getting paid.
Yeah, I know, but...
Well, I don't know if she's got... I don't know if they enforce that. There was no one's really talked about it.
Yeah, I guess not. Yeah, that's an interesting point, because it's not the contract ran out, so she has 90 days that she can't do anything. Although, legally...
Well, it's when the contract doesn't run out. When they release you, like Across and Keith Lee and all them, they get paid for 90 days, even though they're released, because they want to keep them off television for 3 months. For what reason, I have no idea. Like, it doesn't really affect anything.
No, I got you.
But by quitting and okaying the quitting, she may have had to agree to something.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, they...
It's sort of like a buyout.
Say, we're going to get rid of you and not pay you. But if you quit, well, then that's a different story. I don't know.
Yeah. So, I don't know. We'll see if this continues, because I'm sure there's a lot of people in WWE that aren't happy with creative and how things go.
No, and so, funnily, I would say that maybe that screwed up their plans, but they seem to have no plans for the women's division anyway, so.
Yeah, it is kind of a mess, that's for sure. Well, speaking of a mess, wow. Just when you were thinking, oh, yeah, AEW's happy land, and, well, turns out Big Swole, who was a female competitor on AEW, last seen on the major TV shows, botching a match on the first anniversary show for AEW during a match with Hikaru Shida for the AEW Women's Championship. She was wrestling on Dark, and about a month ago, the AEW and her agreed to part ways. Well, she fired a bomb and a couple days ago and said essentially that AEW is not diverse. It's, you know, it's badly run. And was complaining. Her daughter was saying that she doesn't see people like her. Of course, Big Swole is African-American. Daughter wasn't seeing people like her on AEW and so on and so forth, just saying the company's not diverse at all.
Right. Now, and, Joe, my question is that sour grapes or is there some truth there, you think?
I'm going to say it's mainly sour grapes. You know, there's probably an inkling of the truth in there. That women's division has been kind of a debacle. You know, they put Brandi Rhodes, you know, in charge. And, you know, Brandi Rhodes is somebody who never really did much wrestling. She was the ring announcer in, you know, NXT. She hooks up with, you know, Cody, and now she's, you know, a executive in AEW. But, you know, the only comment that I thought was kind of weird was like, you know, Tony Khan, oh, well, you know, I'm a brown man. Well, it's looked at differently. And I saw Leo Rush chime in, and it's like, well, yeah, of course Leo Rush chimed in.
Leo but Rush, by the way, demanded an apology from Tony Khan because Tony in that tweet also said, I let Swole go because I just didn't think she was a good wrestler. So of course,
and
then that's the truth.
That's the, you know what I mean? It's like, well, was she a good wrestler? I don't see many people saying, wow, she was awesome.
See,
you know, it isn't like.
The funny thing is, and Leo Rush is right in a sense, but Tony Khan painted himself into a corner because he either has to apologize, either has to call her a bad wrestler or say that they're not diverse. It's one or the other.
No, I mean, he could have just not said anything.
Or he could have. That was option three.
But, you know.
There's always a plan B.
To a point, I understand why Tony responded because. You know, honestly, if you look at the AEW roster and people that are on there, it's a very diverse group of people. You know, you've had a transgendered women's champion, Sunny Kiss. Now, hasn't been on TV too much, but you know, another gay wrestler, Anthony Bowens, part of the Acclaimed, gay black wrestler. You have all these Japanese wrestlers they brought in, Latino wrestlers. It's a pretty diverse group. You know, I think that her beef, to a point, is, you know, they're not being featured prominently, but at the same time, most of the AEW African American wrestlers are younger guys, the vast majority of them. So you can't just shove them in a spot where they're not going to work and put them in a place where they're going to fail. You know, and Tony's been trying to build up guys like Dante Martin and the Acclaimed,
you know,
Private Party, and
people.
So on.
I think sometimes people use that as excuses. Brian Cage is going to be like, you know what? I'm a big white man, and they are holding me back, and they're pushing Will Hobbs instead, who's a big black man. You know what I mean? It's like anybody can look at something and say, well, this is the reason. You know, I always wondered why Will Hobbs is gotten way more love in AEW than a Brian Cage, who, you know, match-wise, is going to give you a great match. Will Hobbs has never been one that's a guy that's, you know, great on the microphone, great personality. So the difference between Brian Cage and Will Hobbs to me is Brian Cage is awesome in the ring, and he's a big, jacked dude. Will Hobbs is a big, jacked dude who's nowhere near as good as Brian Cage in the ring. They're both not A-level promo guys, but decisions need to be made, you know, and they chose to, you know, keep Will Hobbs with the Taz group and give him the big push, and Brian Cage is sitting at home collecting a paycheck, and he's never on TV. So anybody who's not in a position that they want to be, I deal with the same thing with my guys, you know, that they feel that they are being disrespected. They are being, you know, pushed aside. and they never look at it as, well, maybe you're not good enough. And that's the only reason. I'm not going to push a guy who's garbage because I think he's a nice guy over a guy who's awesome who may not be the most personable in a locker room.
Yeah, and just for fun, while I was lying in bed yesterday, I went back and I had remembered that Swole had been the number one contender for the women's title. And I was like, didn't she wrestle for the title on one of the shows and it went badly? And then I went back and I watched the match and she had a massive, massive botch. I mean, huge. On their anniversary, their 1 year anniversary show. It was terrible. And she didn't look good. She's somewhat plodding. She's not really charismatic. Does she have a nice build and everything and have some decent athleticism? Yeah. But she's not, when you compare her to a bunch of people, just put her against Jade Cargill. I'm pushing Jade Cargill over her.
Right, but part of our argument is that she was on Dark, not on Rampage.
So
it's also that these guys come in, Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, Sting, these legends come in and they get pushed to the moon because they're getting the feature TV time that other younger, maybe African-American, maybe not, wrestlers aren't getting now because they have to give these guys, the guys they're giving the big contracts to, the ring time.
See, but I would disagree with that to a point because, yes, those guys are getting pushes, but they're better. AEW doesn't have Bobby Lashley. AEW doesn't have The New Day. AEW doesn't have Bianca Belair. They've got guys that are developing. They're bringing Dante Martin along. They're bringing the Acclaim along. They were, Private Party kind of got a little bit of a stall job, but they were the ones that knocked the Young Bucks out of the first AEW tag team tournament. They're, Jade Cargill is about to win, I would assume, is about to win the TBS title on Wednesday night.
What if Ruby Soho wins? Will that change your opinion?
No, well, but here's the thing. There's a lot of people that are saying Jade Cargill's not quite ready either. And to a point, I agree. She's a little green. But, but they've been running her as undefeated. They put her in that spot to team with Shaq in one of their most high-profile matches when they had her against Rhodes and Velvet Sky. But, Swole, the thing with Swole was after she blew that match, and I went back and looked because, the one website has all their matches listed. She was, other than the one pay-per-view where they had the Women's Casino Battle Royal, she was on Dark ever since. She kind of let them down. That's your anniversary show, and you have a massive blow-up in there. I mean, and then I watched a couple more of her matches, and her style didn't change. She didn't get any better. I hate to say it, but, she's, you're not going to build an organization around Big Swole.
Right, but I'll be the first to admit whether she is good or not. They signed her. They put her in that position. The question becomes, are they diverse enough? Because that is, because that's the story. I'm trying to think off the top of my head. What African American wrestler in AEW is, a top 10 guy. I could say the same things about Pentagon, Phoenix, LAX, about how underutilized they were for a couple of years while they were pushing other tag teams. Obviously the Young Bucks, they're one of the best. So being them pushed, but I saw a lot of teams get a lot more love than LAX. So is it because, there's too many Spanish guys, we don't want to push them, or is it because they weren't there, wasn't the right time? So, it's opened up a Pandora's box because now, on Twitter, it's blown up.
It's been insane.
One of the arguments Mark and I had before the show started was that they were in a perfect position to make Jay Lethal the champion, and they had him lose.
There's the one African-American wrestler that can be a champion anywhere, and people say, oh yeah, Jay Lethal, he is one of the best. and then they brought him in to lose, as you said, to then, oh, okay, well, they really want to give this Guevara, you know, a nice little run, and then 3 weeks later he loses it back to Cody Rhodes, who had it before. Who cares?
Yeah, it was, I mean, I'm not going to totally debate the booking on all that. I mean, I don't think they should have had Jay wrestle that match with Guevara in the first place. I think that should have been a build down the road, as opposed to, hey, I showed up, and oh, well, a couple days later, I'm wrestling for a title.
That's what they did with Bryan Danielson. They brought him in, and he's already wrestling for a title. So why not,
right,
Jay Lethal?
And they brought him in. They didn't say, hey, you're going to come out and wrestle Omega, and now you're going to lose in 15 minutes. Thanks a lot. See you later. Goodbye.
Yeah, I think the Jay Lethal thing was handled not the best, but there's still plenty of time.
Maybe there is truth to that story.
No, but I have a feeling that in, say, a year and a half, when Dante Martin has gotten polished, as the Acclaimed gets better, and Leo Rush is still there.
Dante Martin over John Moxley, over Chris Jericho, over CM Punk, over Bryan Danielson, over Kenny Omega, over Adam Page.
But I think that's part of their plan down the road. They're taking a lot of these younger wrestlers, and they are getting them the experience that they need so that they can be the future. Because I think that Bryan Danielson, CM Punk, and these guys, you kind of hear the way they talk. They don't plan to be there for 15 years. You know, they want to get a few years in, and they're going to be out.
Yeah, but that's...
So who's going to take their place? And
right, but that's the problem. You're talking 3 or 4 years down the road, and that doesn't cut it. When you're talking diversity, building a guy for 3 or 4 years doesn't cut it, especially when you have a guy like Jay Lethal. And it wouldn't have been as bad, as Joe said. It wouldn't have been as bad had you not had Sammy Guevara then lose the belt to Cody Rhodes.
There's got to be a reason. I mean, I'm sure there's
lack
a reason.
Of diversity. Well, that's the reason.
Or it could just be because Cody's going to be on his Go Big show, and they wanted to hype it up for a few weeks. Who knows what's going to happen?
Last year too.
I don't remember, but you might be right.
I think this is like season two. So it's
yeah,
like
this
nobody
is the second
cared
season.
About it season one. Now all of a sudden he needs to have a belt to have a season two.
Yeah, I don't know, but I don't think that people are... I think people are missing the long-term direction that AEW is taking on this.
But you can't take a long-term... You can't take a long-term direction when you're talking diversity. That's the problem.
But the thing is that you also can't just put people in a spot because of their skin color either.
Well, exactly. But what you're saying is about, well, that long-term plan. Well, when they first started, that long-term plan was 2 years from when they started. But now 2 years from when they started, they've brought in Christian. They've brought in, you know, everybody else that nobody expected them to bring in, CM Punk and Danielson. So now when does that growth happen? When they leave in 3 more years? Like, at that point, aren't these guys going to be disgruntled and look for somewhere else to work, i.e. WWE? You know, to be like, well, you know what? I might as well make my money, because that's what a lot of the people are more concerned with, making money, TV time, you know, whatever it is. And not that Dante Martin's ready, because they just started using him.
And they didn't know what they had there in Dante Martin for a while. He just showed up when his brother got hurt, and they put him in that, I think he was in a six-man match, and he blew everybody away. Everybody's
yeah,
like,
we're trying to get him from Mecca.
Where'd this guy come from? And all of a sudden, they're like, wow, we got to start using this dude, you know?
Yeah,
and
we're trying to get him. We got the numbers, making the calls.
That's a guy that when he got an opportunity, he shined.
Yeah, but the problem is the opportunity for him to get big isn't going to be there for several years because of the contracts the other guys have.
See, but I don't necessarily think that's true.
Of course it is, because you're not going to push aside CM Punk, Bryan Danielson, Christian Cage, Matt Hardy, whomever, for Dante Martin. Not until Martin's going to be 2 or 3 years down the road, and that's too long a wait.
Well, you know, they're equal opportunity pushaways. You know, look at guys like Christopher Daniels and Frankie Kazarian. Like, you know, Daniels is on every once in a while. Is Kazarian hurt, or is they Scorpio Sky? You know,
who just got a 5-year deal, by the way.
Yeah, Ethan Page. You know, they brought him in to do what? Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you got to wonder what their plans are for Scorpio Sky, because obviously Tony Khan thinks he's somebody that they're going to be able to build around. You know, you're not going to give a guy a 5-year deal for nothing, you know, just for nothing.
You are if you're doing what the old WCW thing, which is we're giving him money to keep him away from WWE.
Do you think WWE would sign him?
I don't think WWE is that interested. I love Scorpio Sky. He's awesome. You know, I went in just to see, because we always talk about how big the rosters are. I went on the AEW website and counted every single person on the roster. Do you know how many people they have on the roster?
No.
It's a lot. I've actually got it right in front of me, too.
112.
It's a lot of people. And they're using
112 people are on that roster.
And there's, you know, and they're using a lot of them on Dark and Elevation. But there's people there that I had no idea who they were. So, yeah, I mean they are trying to, I think they're trying to develop some younger guys. But they also have contracts and I have a feeling that number is going to drop pretty soon. You know, once their initial contracts run out, they're not going to keep everybody.
Right, but who are they going to lose? Who are they going to drop?
You know, is Marco Stuntz? I don't even know if he was on the roster page. You know what I mean? I counted 112 people, and there was probably people that were on, you know, especially those initial signings.
Yeah.
You know, and they signed a lot of those guys, and as we saw, Scorpio, the SoCal Uncensored group, they kind of fell by the wayside, and Scorpio Sky, who was the youngest of the three, you know, he kind of got buried. So as they continue to sign more people, even though they don't release anybody, all they do is you know, get further down the totem pole and, you know, work these meaningless matches on YouTube.
Yeah, and I think that they're going to be clearing out some spots here pretty soon. I think a lot of these people that they're not using, you know, like
it'll be at least another year, because generally they're 3-year contracts.
They've done 2 to 3-year contracts, so yeah, it's going to be a little bit. But I think they're going to be clearing the roster out soon enough. They had to bring in who they could get at the start, and some were good signings, some weren't. You know, just like anything else. So, but yeah,
we lambaste WWE for their bad signings. We don't. You're not doing it the same thing for AEW.
No, there's some bad signs. Like I wouldn't assign Tony Nese as just one example.
Nese is good, but you have 30 other Tony Neses
exactly.
That are 10 years younger.
Exactly. You didn't need him. You know, there's the. You know, I mean, if you wanted me to rip the roster apart right now, I could do it.
No, I'm just saying we don't. Not you personally. We don't rip AEW like we rip WWE for doing the same thing.
Yeah, but I think the circumstances are different because it was a new company, and now those initial contracts are going to start wearing out, and I think even Tony Khan in one interview said, you know, we're going to have to be more discerning about who we sign. You know,
I'd be really curious to see how much money they have actually lost the first couple of years, because they could talk a big game, but they get no TV money. They get really, other than a few big shows that they have, they get no gate for a lot of stuff. And if they do, you know, most of their shows are run more in 1,500, 2,000 seaters than they are in those 15,000 seaters. And as we know, you know, renting the MGM Grand, you know, is, you know, probably $250,000, you know, off the top. So when they ran there, there was no money to be made when you're paying million-dollar contracts to guys like Moxley and Jericho, and I would imagine CM Punk and Daniels.
Right, and then you also there. I mean, and they're still signing guys, because Kyle O'Reilly is still a new signing. There's still the talk of Bray Wyatt being signed by AEW, so there's still more guys that they're going to add to this bloated roster, which is going to keep younger guys down still, because you're going to have a Bray Wyatt on there now.
See, but I think Bray Wyatt, maybe Wyndham Rotunda, whatever he ends up being, might be the last major domino to fall. I mean, who else out there in terms of free agents is really left? You got a guy like Hammerstone.
Braun Strowman?
No, Hammerstone re-signed again, surprisingly, with MLW.
Yeah, so he's staying.
Is that Braun Strowman? You still have the Briscoes? There are people out there that they could still sign.
Yeah, Jonathan Gresham, he's a hot commodity.
Tony Storm?
Yeah, but of course, and we don't know what Ring of Honor is going to do yet either.
Keith right. Lee, Karrion Kross.
Yeah, I mean, there are a few, but I don't know. This is going to be a fascinating
when you talk about
next
value,
16
how much value does Bobby Fish and especially Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly, are they more valuable to a new company than a Karrion Kross and a Keith Lee? I would think not. Those guys never got any major exposure on WWE television, only on NXT, which is like Ring of Honor.
Yeah, and I think the only reason those guys are over as they are is because of their association with Adam Cole.
Well,
those are two non-personalities that'll give you a really good wrestling match. Surprisingly, they got over strong in NXT because of the group, but they're going to give you a good match. And for them, AEW is the better place. But again, value-wise, I guarantee you Kyle O'Reilly got way more money than he would normally on the open market.
Yep, that's for sure. Well, we're getting ready to wrap this one up. Wow. Lots of fun, huh?
Where's the second hour?
We're only doing one today, so
why is that? Some guy decided to show up at 9 o'clock.
Yeah. Apparently, so my question is: just tomorrow night on Raw, what happens with Lashley, with Lesnar, Big E, Rollins, and Kevin Owens?
Well, we'll find out.
Big E will be mysteriously absent. I think he just also tested positive, so he won't be on for a couple weeks.
Kevin Owens, Rollins, a new tag team?
Maybe. I would love that. I would love that. They work well together. Well, hey, guys, we're wrapping it up. Thank you for joining us again on the Mark Hoke Show. We do appreciate it. Andrew Fishfane.
Yay!
Joe DeFalco, future stars of wrestling here in Las Vegas, FSWVegas.com. Thanks for being with us, guys. We do appreciate it. We'll see you next week on the Mark Hoke Show. Download those podcasts, markhokeshow.podbean.com.
Especially the Maldives.
Easy there. We'll see you next week.